RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Summer 1951. Crimson Harvest, the 162nd adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery. A specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Crimson Harvest. Chapter 1. Crime Study. The Senate committee room was crowded, as it had been for days. Ever since organized crime had been recognized as important and menacing, the public had flocked to all the open hearings. This particular day didn't hold too much promise of excitement. Nothing like the time when the report on Miami and Chicago gambling had held the spotlight. Yet Frank Havens, owner of a string of important newspapers, and his friend Richard Curtis Van Loan, fabulously wealthy young man about town, were having difficulty reaching their reserved seats. Havens was a commanding-looking man for all of his years. He was a vigorous man, one essentially capable of personally handling his famous newspapers in cities from the Atlantic to the Pacific. His hair was white but thick and well-groomed. His eyes were clear and alert, and his every step firm and sure. His walk was in contrast with that of the man beside him, who walked with an easy grace, yet with a certain indication of indolence in his movements. That young man, Richard Curtis Van Loan, said many, had too much money and took too full advantage of everything his wealth accorded him. There seemed to be little purpose to his life other than transient amusement. He was a noted sportsman, however, the owner of quantities of cups and trophies, as proof of his prowess. He was tall, exceptionally well turned out, but his eyes appeared to be a trifle sleepy. A closer inspection, nevertheless, would have shown that they missed nothing of what went on around him. When they reached their seats, Havens shook hands with a man in the next chair and introduced him to Van Loan. "Dick," he said, "this is an old friend of mine, Sidney Clement." "Mr. Van Loan," said. "I'm honored." Van Loan offered his hand. "At one time you were the mayor of Spring Falls, weren't you? Back in, 1939? "Nice of you to remember," Clement said, but his smile was sickly. "I played a tennis match in Spring Falls then," Van said, and nodded. "Nice town, too. I particularly recall its cleanliness." "Sid," Havens asked, "what are you doing here? Or are you a student of crime?" Clement's smile grew even sicklier. "Hardly that, Frank. I happen to be the star witness this morning, and I confess I don't like it." Havens frowned. "Why in the world would they have called you?" "It seems I rented several pieces of property to gamblers, and the places were converted to gambling houses. I didn't know this, of course, and I'm not blamed or involved in any way. They only want me to discuss the financial dealings I had with those men." Van Loan nodded. "Oh, yes. They're trying to find the pool from which all this crooked money flows."
"You're quite right."